Carolyn Zirke, and I am the BASF Innovation Specialist for Southern Minnesota.
Carolyn, let's begin with an overview, kind of a summary of where we're at in the growing season across your geography. I know that being in southeastern Minnesota, we've had plenty of moisture, and you go further west, and excess moisture has created ponding and is probably leading to quite a few different agronomic problems. So would you sum things up at this point?
I would sum it up as the southern Minnesota area has had, you know, a late planting season in some areas, and then we got the hottest record of temperatures in May, which seemed to push our GDUs ahead, even though June was a very wet month. It looks like the corn crop in southern Minnesota is about 200 GDUs ahead of a 10-year average, which means our corn is tasseled earlier. Soybeans, of course, don't like wet feet before the 4th of July. They looked a little rough, but the last 2 weeks they've really come back, bounced back, and the corn crop has also.
Yeah, looking at some of the uniqueness that you touched on as far as the delayed planting, but then the record heat that followed and how this crop kind of caught up and then got ahead on GDUs, what might that tell us about yield potential as we go into pollination and the reproductive phases for corn and then also soybeans? Would these conditions lend itself to the prospect of higher yield, depending on what happens after, or would this actually make you think that we could see reduced yields because of the unique conditions?
Well, looking at the conditions we've had, we've got a lot of sub-moisture, which doesn't, some fields are stressed out, but there's a lot of potential in a lot of these crops that I've been out scouting here the last week and a half. The other thing that, with the GDUs being ahead, that means on corn and on corn especially, we've got a long grain fill period, and the reproductive stages of any crop are very, very important. And with the extra heat and humidity that we've had the last couple weeks and all the moisture, that's bringing on arrays of diseases that I'm seeing out in the fields, and growers need to really look and be proactive at protecting, specifically in corn, that top third of the plant, so that that corn plant can keep photosynthesizing, maybe get a bigger root system going to take up more nitrogen that is out there. And especially on soybeans, also protecting the blooms and pods. We're about R3 going into R4 on soybeans, which is a perfect time for a Preaxor application. And the headline amp is going on corn for the last about 5-6 days. The airplanes have been flying, ground rigs have been going here before this shot of rain today. But they're being proactive because we are seeing diseases such as northern corn leaf blight, gray leaf spot in corn, a lot of septoria in soybeans. So if you can protect that crop during the reproductive stage, which is when it's making grain, we've got a long grain fill period for these guys to potentially have some nice yield records with an application of fungicide.
Carolyn, let's touch on some of the scouting advice that you think is important for those farmers that, and it sounds like in a lot of cases, you know, this would be a preventative fungicide treatment. So not necessarily thinking about threshold levels, some maybe are, but as far as what you're looking for on the leaves, these foliar diseases, whether it's corn or soybeans, what are some tips to follow?
When you're scouting corn, and most of the corn is pollinated, we had great weather for pollination, and that's why I said there is potential out here. But when you're looking at corn scouting, go out, get into the field, look at the lower leaves first. And I've been seeing some anthracnose just because it has been wet, the soil's been wet. Any fields that have a lot of residue left in it, we are seeing more susceptible for diseases. Northern corn leaf blight, as is what I'm finding, is at the ear level already, which is not where you want it to be. And it looks kind of like a cigar. I tell guys it's a long 2-inch cigar, and it's just brown. You'll see it when you'll know it when you see it. The gray leaf spot, I was over in the Elber Lee area, they have a lot above the ear, and those just look like gray, probably an inch long, just kind of a rectangular, and they're all over the leaves. They start on the bottom but work their way up. So those are some symptoms to look for in corn, and gray leaf spot and northern corn are the two highest yield robbing diseases in a corn crop. In soybeans, you want to pull those plants back, look at the bottom of the leaves. Obviously, there was a lot of PPO burners, herbicide spraying, so those leaves where the cells were disrupted. If you can get that plant pushing for photosynthesis, but you'll notice some yellow leaves in the bottom, you want to try to keep all the leaves on that plant during reproductive stage. because this is when it's blooming, pushing pods, and we've got about a two-week stretch here yet. We can get some applications of Preaxiron to help protect the reproductive stage and push yield.
Yeah, I know white mold was a major problem in Minnesota a year ago, and I'm wondering about for those farmers that were able to go in with a herbicide that maybe is going to keep that canopy closure from occurring as soon, if that might actually be a positive in a year like this one with all that moisture, and we don't know if it's going to cool off, and if it does, obviously that lends itself to white mold. But as you look at canopy closure, and if you see that airflow reduction in soybean fields and how that disease can really just manifest quite easily, are you really concerned about a repeat of 2017 with white mold?
I've had questions from that northwestern Minnesota area just because they got the crop in early and they've got some really nice looking soybeans up there. And a preventative on white mold is you have to catch it early before even it starts blooming on soybeans because they continuously bloom. And the next application would be a Preaxiron application, R3. And that's just going to just suppress. It doesn't have control of white mold. And there's a product we have, Endura, but we like to get that on at R1, R3. So to see a repeat, I have seen some mushrooms out in the field. You will find them at the soil kind of underneath the beans. If you pull them back, they're hard to find, but I am seeing some. But I just don't know when that white mold may hit. If we get the right weather conditions and when it was flowering, you could possibly have the potential for that.
And with all the moisture, how are things sitting as far as nutrients and maybe some losses there from earlier in the season because of all the excess rain?
Yes, there's definitely areas in southwest Minnesota that have had torrential rains, and nitrogen has been lost. There are certain areas, though, in central Minnesota, the crop has come out of it. These roots are starting to go down. A lot of guys have been side dressing, putting urea on. And as far as the crops, these roots just need to get down, which they were starting to here the last 2 weeks. And an application of a fungicide can actually help those roots to get that nitrogen into the plant. So if guys know they've got nitrogen out there, this is a great way to make sure that nitrogen gets into those crops, into those plant factories, to make sure they're utilizing all those investments that they've already put out there.
And we talked about scouting for foliar diseases earlier. Is it pretty evident when you're seeing a reduction in nitrogen, the yellowing, the discoloration, things like that? Does it stick out pretty obviously to a grower?
Yes, it does. It does stick out, and that's one thing that guys are weighing right now. And if you do have a crop that looks a little yellow, I do have some growers that are making an application just to see if we can get this root system going. Others are going full bore because their crop is right on that edge, and they know they still have potential for 180 to 220 corn. So it just depends where you're at and where this rainfall hit. But there is potential in the state of Minnesota to get some good crops in some of these fields.
Carolyn, the last thing I have for you, we've been talking pretty exclusively about disease management, but I know in talking to other agronomists and folks in the industry that sometimes one problem will then make the plant susceptible to the next problem. And I think about in soybeans, you know, what if the aphid populations are high later this summer and you're already dealing with disease that's weakened that plant? That's a scary proposition. But certainly you want to get out in front on the disease side first, I would think, so that you've got a healthier plant there to withstand some of the other pressures that might come along.
That's absolutely correct, Mark. We like to see the plant healthy, and I always tell the growers that we need to base our fungicide off of timing of a reproductive stage and not off an application of an aphid run. And it seems like the last couple of years the aphid run has been later after R5, and an application of Preax, we want to get that on from R3 to R5 so that plant can photosynthesize, can push flowers, push blooms, and not wait for the aphids. Now, guys have been proactive in getting out before this rainfall, but you still got time to get a Preax application on to get those plants healthy.
Anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
I would just make sure the guys are out there scouting, especially their cornfields, because a lot of these diseases can lead to another disease, such as anthracnose. You can see it in the leaves, but we could see it to start to see some stalk issues. A lot of these diseases, or even these yields that push, will cannibalize the stalk. So an application of a headline amp can even help them at harvest to make sure that those combines are rolling smooth during harvest time and not slowing down due to stock issues.